What a powerful name it is. Thank you so much, praise team, worship team. You guys are awesome children. Thank you guys so much for just sharing your hearts with us about what a special day today really is. We're going to just begin with a word of prayer. I just ask you guys, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Put your hand in Romans chapter 3 as well if you can, and we'll get there in a moment. Let's just pray. Father God, we want to thank you, dear God, for the day that you've given us. We want to thank you, Lord, that we are celebrating today a risen Savior. Father, because of that risen Savior, Lord, no matter what befalls us in this life, Lord, we have hope. And I want to pray, Lord, as we look at your word today, Lord, that you would just teach us, that you would just drive home, dear God, the hope that we have. And Father, the decision that we need to make to just grab that hope that we have in Jesus with both hands. And I pray, dear God, that we would rejoice, Lord, in our lives no matter what comes, because Jesus has conquered sin and he has conquered death. Lord, work in our hearts now this morning, I pray. Take away the distractions, Lord, that we struggle with, we wrestle with. Father, even the things in our mind, Lord, that we worry about and we're concerned about, dear God. Father, help us today, Lord, to just hand those over to that powerful name that we might find real life change this morning. And I pray it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So take your Bibles, if you would. I want to just say two things very quickly. One is, you know, by the way, isn't it great to be part of God's family? Yeah. Amen. It's great to be part of God's family, right? Amen to that. And I want to say from Yael Duwana and her family, thank you for being part of the celebration for her mom and dad. God's power brought them through so many things. We had a chance to reflect and celebrate on that last weekend. So we want to just say thank you to all of you for that. And I want to say something, by the way. How many folks were here Friday night? Right? Wasn't it cool to see God working in our youth ministry? Amen, right? And I want to thank our youth leaders and our two young preachers. I'm not sure if you're here. If you're here, young preachers, stand up. Are you here? So that I see him today. All right? Amen. You know, God is at work right here at First Baptist Church, Willingboro. And we just want to thank God, by the way, we want to thank God for our youth leaders, Pastor Ansu, Verna, Jonathan, Gloria, Moses, Michelle, Natalie, Cleo. You guys, we want to give you a big hand. Thank God for you all. Thank God. What a blessing. Continue to work in the lives of our kids. God's doing great things. And we want to just praise his name. We want to celebrate his resurrected life this morning. So let's just take our Bibles, and we want to begin this morning as we talk about Easter, right? Kind of think about what's it all about today, and I want to share with us today, we're going to talk about the resurrection, right? You got to talk about the resurrection on Easter Sunday, right? And I want to talk about the fact that the resurrection is a revelation of the righteousness of God and the love of God and the character of God as he changed everything this day. Yeah. Everything. So we're going to go right to our next slide. Christopher, take us there real quick. And I want to stop and think about that. And by the way, doesn't it seem kind of impossible to keep God's law? You know, everybody, I think if I went out and took a survey on Sunset Road this morning, they say, you know, that God is mean. He's just watching everything that I do. And it's hard for us to keep God's law fully. And we might ask this question, how can anyone be righteous and know that they're okay with God? And today I want to say, let's look at Jesus' resurrection in God's word, because he's going to tell us how. And I want to quickly move to our eternal truth and just kind of grab a hold of this morning. The resurrection of Jesus reveals the righteousness of God, and it reveals the hope of man. And we're going to look at that just a little bit this morning. We're going to go right down to our next slide as we kind of dive right into this. And the first thing I want to talk about this morning is this idea of revelation. All right, sometimes we wake up in the morning and we have a revelation. Anybody have one today? You wake up, I had a revelation. You know, and it could be like, you know, something you forgot. You know, as we all get older, sometimes we don't remember half the things we you know. Some people say you go to the refrigerator, you get up and you say, "Why did I come here?" You know, and then sometimes later on in the night we go, "Oh, I know why." You know, we have a revelation. And when I talk about the fact that the revelation of God's righteousness is so significant, and the thing I want you to get a hold of this morning is the conqueror of sin and death, that's Jesus. I want to talk about this connection to what we talked about last week, you know, with our sin and our rebellion. And I want to talk, there's a reason today that we're here. There is a cause for celebration. There is a cause for celebration. So we're going to jump right on in. And I want to just take a minute today. Let's just define this idea. What is revelation? So yeah, I looked it up online. This is the Oxford Dictionary. You know, revelation can be a noun. Revelations is a plural noun. Revelation, you know, big revelation like the book of Revelation is there. What is revelation? Here's what it is. A surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. That's a revelation. You know, a lot of times in our language, don't we overuse words? You know, man, that pizza was awesome. Really? I mean, I love pizza, but it's hard to find awesome pizza, right? You know, or epic, that was epic. You know, we use these words over, and some use the word revelation too much too. The other definition of revelation is that the divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something that relates to human existence or the world. And this is something that's big, right? So I want to share with you guys, when we think about Resurrection Day and Easter Sunday, I want to share with you guys a revelation. Give it to us, Chris. Is that a revelation? By the way, you guys, hey, we got to be honest. We're in church, right? How many of you guys got one of those bunnies at home? You know, I hope that, you know, they gave me dark chocolate that makes you live longer. You know, but by the way, is the Easter Bunny, is that a revelation on Easter? You know, we might want it. You know, I might want to break those ears off and have it later this afternoon. But is that a revelation? Is that going to change my life? No, not really, right? How about this? I don't know what guy has. I saw some asparagus in the food pantry. I saw some guy, right, guy? I saw it. He said, "Be quiet. Don't tell anybody." Right? But today we're going to gather around the table. Maybe we'll have ham and mashed potatoes and mustard and asparagus or some other vegetable that, you know, we kind of roll out for special days, right? But here's the question. Is that a revelation? You know, it might be good. Is it going to change your life this afternoon? No. And what I want to say to you guys today is this, and Christopher, give us the real thing. There's the real revelation of today. The tomb is empty, right? And Jesus is alive. That's the revelation that we want to talk about today. That's what changes our lives in a big way. And I want to just kind of have us think about that this morning. The tomb is really empty. So let's dig down. Let's go on. Chris, take us to the verses there. Revelation 28, which Moses just read, right? And I want you guys to kind of get a hold of this, the revelation of the righteous conqueror of sin and death. So, and I'll throw this out. Everybody look up with me. Did anyone ever rise from the dead? How many people, right? Come on, you got it. Come on, you got to get some courage. How many people say yes? Other than Jesus, all right, other than. Yep, by the way, I got my man, Marion Fair, said yes, right? And what's his name? Lazarus, right? He rose from the dead, right? But here's the deal. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. There's a difference, right? Lazarus was raised to come back to this life in that same stinking body like we all complain about, to go through it some more. And by the way, it was a blessing. His family was so happy to have him back. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose in a new body with power that conquered death, conquered sin, conquered everything, and nothing could keep him down. That's the big difference, right? So So I want you guys just kind of look at this real quick this morning. I want you guys to go down to verse 5. And by the way, notice what the angel said. The women came to the tomb, and here's the deal. They were not looking for a revelation. They were looking to do their job. It was a typical day in a very atypical week. But they were coming to grieve, to mourn, and prepare his body. They were coming to just be there for Jesus, right? And here's the challenge. Look what it says. It says, but the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. And here's the revelation. He's not here. He's not here. And by the way, look what he says. It says, he's not here, for he is risen as he said. And I don't know about you, I don't know anyone that's risen from the dead. I've done more than 100 and some funerals, and no one ever rose from the dead. But let me say this, Jesus did, and likewise we will, he says. Amen. Right? That's the difference. And he continues, and he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, past tense, means he's not laying there no more. He's out of there. He has risen. He's alive, right? And he says this word to them. He says, go quickly, tell the disciples he's risen from the dead. And indeed, he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. That is a revelation. And when they saw him, by the way, the ladies saw him, they were just overwhelmed. And look what says it. So they went quickly out of the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Christopher, take us to the next verse. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. That's a revelation. Jesus met them and saying, rejoice. And so they came and they held him by his feet. And look what they did. They worshiped him. Because you know why? They had never, ever seen this event, this power, this victory. That would not just help them in the life to come, but it would help them in the current life too. Power and strength, right? And I want to say this. We are found or have found the long-awaited answer to one of life's ultimate questions. And here's the deal about Easter. There is a group of real witnesses in excess of 500 that can attest to that fact. And many of them went to their death saying, okay, you can take my life here, but I know where I'm going, and I'm going to be more alive than ever before. Amen. The revelation of God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And, you know, I appreciate the Apostle Paul, because this fact is so critical. He picked this up in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And by the way, you can kind of jot this down in your mind. 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. It talks about how does it happen? How does it work? 1 Corinthians 15 gives us that idea. And notice what in chapter verse 54, look what Paul said. He says, when this corruptible, in other words, this body that you got and I got is growing older every day. I appreciate Pastor Ansu prayed for I grow a year younger. I'm not sure it's going to happen. I mean, God will give me strength, but you know, it's still showing the miles. Right? Still showing the dents and the scratches, right? Amen. Amen, right, Dennis? Amen, right? Sometimes when we work together as deacons, we walk away with more dents and scratches. But we're showing that. But look what he says. He said, when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal, this body has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Look what it says. Get this in your mind, y'all. Death is swallowed up in victory. And I want you guys to understand, this is a revelation. This isn't just like, you know, well, God made a way for us and we're sort of excited a little bit. No, 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 no. Death, which by the way, is the greatest foe. It's probably our greatest fear. It is the greatest enemy that we have on this earth, right? That enemy has been conquered. And not just beaten a little bit, like 2-1, but overwhelmingly defeated. Jesus conquered death. And the Lord said these words. He said, oh, death, where is your sting? We feel the sting all the time when people pass from us. It hurts. We don't want them to go. But he says this, O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the idea he's trying to say is, the sting of death is the fact that we are going to be judged. It says this in the book of Hebrews. It says, it is appointed unto men once to die. By the way, ladies, you're in that too. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So it's not a pretty picture as we leave this earth until Jesus changes it. He says, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. And I want to say this, and I want to say this with emphasis. Death and sin, everybody look up. All the consequences of them are defeated today. Yes. All of them, they're defeated. And by the way, that gives us hope. Is there anybody here not going to die? Anybody not die? Right? You know, I used to work in the life insurance industry. And by the way, it was never if. It was always when. Right? So we got to get ready for that. Jesus gets us ready because he conquered sin and death. Now I want to take us to the next idea. There's a connection, right? Here's the problem. We talk about this thing called sin or our rebellion against God. We looked at this last week. There's this connection, and in this word, by the way, is very true. There's kind of an epic conclusion that we as mankind need to understand. And look what he says in Romans chapter 3. We're going to kind of segue over. He says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. And look what he says. He says that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty or accountable before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And let me say what, here's what Paul's trying to say. Everybody think about this for a second. Anybody, by the way, feeling really holy? It's Sunday, man. If you can't feel holy on Sunday, right? Goodness, right? But think about it. Here's the challenge. Every argument for our own righteousness, our own uprightness, our own keeping of God's law, every argument about our standing with God is silenced. We don't have a leg to stand on. And by the way, I throw this out, I better look up for a quick question. Here's the thought. Honestly, could any of us say, I never chose to do anything wrong? Can anyone really say that? Not really, right? Sometimes we're like, you know, I'm a good guy. I always say that. I say, oh, he's a good guy. And by the way, most of you guys are good guys and good ladies, but it's not enough. And that's the problem. And I want to get this idea in our minds. All the world is guilty and accountable to God. There's nobody that gets away. Nobody. You could be Mother Teresa. She didn't reach the standard. She had some sin. Her motivation might have been wrong, you know, whatever it was. She was born in sin too, right? No human being can be justified or declared righteous. By the way, the word justified, these are kind of like big biblical words, right? The idea of justified is God says, you are righteous. You are in right standing with me. You are holy enough to have a relationship with me. You will spend eternity with me in that relationship in heaven. No one of their own accord can be declared righteous. And by the way, here's a funny thing. Could any of us say, yeah, I kept the law? I'll throw this out. Even when I don't speed, I want to. People come in the church and they say, I saw you in the parking lot. I saw you. Was that you coming in with that silver car? Oh, no, that was Pastor Anson. Right? You understand? Yeah. He doesn't have a silver car. He has a silver car, but it's not a van. But you know, the challenge, isn't that us though? Even when I don't want to sin, I sin. You know, and I try to put it always on somebody else, but I always do it. And this is a challenge. And it's kind of a big uh-oh. You go back, Chris, one time. Go back just for a second. It's kind of like, uh-oh. We are lost. We are in trouble. And that's what Jesus fixes. That's why we're so excited today, man. We are rocking the house today, right? We open the windows. All of Willenboro knows something's going on. And something is. Jesus is alive. And I want to turn to the next point, right? There is a cause for celebration. And here's the cause. And I want you guys, look at this verse, verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Everybody look up for a second. This is another revelation, right? Jesus is alive, right? Amen. But here's the big revelation, that there is hope for you and me apart from keeping God's law, that I can have a relationship with him. And here's the good news and the revelation about that. I keep failing. I can't do it myself. I am undone. There's nothing I can do. There's hope. God has revealed another way. And he says this right. He says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Everybody look up. Get this in your mind. Notice, what's the key word? Just jumps out. To all and on all. What's the key word? All. How many times have you been with someone or you thought it yourself? Well, everybody else can be saved, but not me. Everyone else has hope, but not me. Everyone else is pretty good, but not me. God revealed his righteousness and his righteous way, and there is nobody that can hear me or nobody outside in this whole world that doesn't have hope. There is nobody without sin. There's nobody who can do it by themselves, and everybody has an opportunity to really be born again and be saved and to have that righteousness from God. And by the way, he says in this word, it kind of carries over to the next point we'll look at, but he says, for there's no difference. And the point is, you know what the point of that is? If you grew up, you know, in the case of the Jews, you were the keeper of the law. You had the prophets, you had Moses, you had Abraham. You had this tremendous advantage. And we like to say, well, you know, they're my people. Guess what? You still fail. Some of us grew up in church. We had parents that loved God and did all those things. Trusted God. You know, they drug us to church when we didn't want to get drugged. They did all those things, right? But guess what? Doesn't matter. Still hope for you if you didn't take Christ yourself. And look what it says here. God surprisingly reveals hope. It's a revelation. And I just quickly remember Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, especially verse 4, says this word. It says, even though we were just caught up in sin and dead in our trespasses and sins, you know what the first two words of verse 4 are? But God has revealed a way for us when there seems to be no way. The righteousness of holy God, and get this in our mind, by the way, not a holy God, but the holy God. God's righteousness, his holiness, his perfection is available to everybody like us, who are very, very, very imperfect. And that's what he says. He says, the righteousness of the holy God is available to me. And by the way, look at the key. Here's what it takes. Through humble faith in what Jesus did. Believe. We tried to be good. We tried to obey God's law. We tried all those things. It failed. God just says, look up to me and take the free gift of my uprightness. I'll give it to you by faith in Jesus Christ. And again, it is available to all humans. We're going to go right down to the next slide. And notice I put a reference there, John 3:16, right? John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world, all of us, right? That what? Whosoever, anybody, right? Whosoever believes in him shall not perish or die, but shall be what? Have eternal life, everlasting life. So here's the thought. The redemption of man. We don't use another big word. We don't use that word maybe so much. What's redemption? You know, by the way, there's a new movie coming out, Bob Marley. Bob Marley movie. Remember he had a song called The Redemption Song. Redemption is something we talk about. We like to watch, you know, people sort of get redeemed on the face of this earth. But let me say this. God's redemption song is more than a Grammy winner. Amen. God's redemption song is something we want to get a hold of this morning. And he deals with man's situation, man's salvation, God's sacrifice, and God's system. And we want to look at what Romans says about that. So we'll take that right down. Christopher, go to our next slide. So here's our situation. And he says that word. He says there's no difference, right? Maybe you grew up, you know, great situation. You were taught all the right things, but you ran away and kind of did your own thing. By the way, which many of us have done, if not all. And he says this word, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I want to kind of get this in our minds, right? And we looked at this in the book of Romans in the last couple of weeks. Romans chapter 1, it says, guess what? It says, the unrighteous will be judged. Everybody look up for a second. Here's the thought. Aren't you glad that the unrighteous will be judged? You know, aren't you glad Hitler will be judged? Stalin will be judged. And there's some contemporaries in our own day. They're going to be judged, and we kind of feel good about that, right? Because God is not going to be overthrown. God's not going to be overthrown. But the unrighteous are going to be judged, and we feel good about that. Then there's a lot of us in church, and sometimes we're the self-righteous. Well, I don't do that. Do you do that? You know, we have these things that we do. We sort of keep these rules that make us look like we love God. But really, we love ourselves. And we're going to lift ourselves up. So guess what? The unrighteous are going to be judged. The self-righteous are going to be judged. And even the people that you think, the supposed righteous, they look like they're pretty righteous, they're going to be judged too. And that's our situation. And here's the point, right? Romans says this. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all those groups, which by the way encompass all of mankind, all those groups are going to get judged. We're glad about the first group. The other two, we're a little concerned because it might be us. Right? But we're all going to be judged. And I want you to understand that there's a perfect standard that God has, which is no rebellion or sinfulness. Zero. Man, I'm out of luck on that one, right? We miss God's standard of perfect holiness. And Isaiah says this. It says that our sin separates us from God. He can't even be with us. It says he won't even answer our prayer. Then Isaiah goes on and says, even the very best you got, your righteousness and mine, it says it's like filthy rags. And then James 2:10 says, it says, even if you keep the whole law and offend in just one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. Wow, what a downer on Easter. Right? That's pretty down, right? So, you know what? We sort of got to understand how bad it is so we can really sing and cry out about how good it is when we have the righteousness of God, right? That's the point. So we are in big trouble. And he says there's no difference if you grew up with the law, in church, had the Bible, good parents, etc. Everybody is a rebellious sinner by birth. David said this. He said, in sin or iniquity I was conceived. And then he also said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I want to do what I want. But what? The Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Right? That's our situation. So it's kind of bad, right? It's real bad. It doesn't get any worse. But that's where God enters in. Let's go to the next point. So that's man's situation. And I'll just quickly illustrate this. We looked at this verse a week ago. Look what the Bible says. We'll just look at verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is how many righteous? None. Everybody say it with me. How many?
None.
Don't you want to just say there might be a few? Like me?
None.
But it says there's none. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's no one who understands. There's none who seeks after God. Then in verse 12, he says, there is none who does good, no, not one. And it kind of rolls it all up. Man, we are in a big, bad situation. Not too good. And we're going to skip down. Christopher, take us to our next point here. But there's salvation. And look what he says. He leaves us first. He said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then he says, but, everybody get it, being justified or declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And I want you guys to understand what he's saying here. He's saying this. He's saying God will judicially, by the way, when you hear those kind of words, don't they scare you? I almost had to go to jury duty. And they called me every day and said, you're excused. And the last day, man, I said, praise God. And I wasn't even guilty. I was on the good side. Right? But here's the challenge, right? Think about it. When we say this, God is the righteous judge. He's going to judge everybody. And guess what? If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, it says what? He will declare us judicially, legally, in a binding fashion that we are what? Righteous. And I'll throw this out. When God says it, it sticks. Everybody get this, right? There's no appeals court. There's no even Supreme Court because God's in both branches. He's the judge and he's the Supreme Court. And there's no, well, let me think about this for a minute. Let me get a better lawyer. Let me get two lawyers. Let me lawyer up. I can't do any of those things because God has declared me wicked, but when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, God has declared me righteous. And it sticks, right? It sticks forever. And look what he says, as we interpret that, God judicially declares us righteous, and get this, it's free. I know there's nothing free out there, but there is in salvation. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You know, some of us, we all looking good today. It looks like we have a lot of money. You know, we're faking it today, right? Right? We could add it all up together, and we still can't buy our salvation. It's not going to do it for us, right? Not going to do it. He said he sets us free from the penalty of our sin and rebellion through the ransom paid by Jesus. And again, remember we said that Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. But it says he did what? He laid the iniquity of us all on. On him. He paid the price. No, nothing we could do about that. So Christopher, take us down. This is why we are so excited. Because there's God's sacrifice. And look what he says in verse 25. He says about Jesus, he said, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So here's the deal. What's he saying by that? Here's what he's saying. God made Jesus the perfect sacrifice. Jesus never sinned. He's the perfect Lamb of God, which we read about in the Old Testament. And according to the law, that's what was required to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. By the way, think about this just for a second. We kind of touched on this like a little bit on Friday night. Think about the sin of all the world for all of time, past, present, and future, put on Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus before that in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Father, if it's possible to take this cup from me, please do. But he said what? But not my will be done, yours be done, right? But the Lord Jesus Christ, he took all of that sin. He was a propitiation, and that's this idea. Jesus was a bloody substitutionary sacrifice for sin. And I want you guys to understand, that seems, by the way, you know, in our day, we don't want to talk about that kind of stuff, right? We like to watch it on TV, but we don't want to talk about blood, right? What's he talking about here? Here's what the Bible says. If I go back to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, you know what it says? It says, the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. And then he continues that in Hebrews chapter 9, 22. He says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no forgiveness or no way out of your sin. And that's what we talked about on Friday. That's why Jesus died. That's why he was beaten, he was scourged, all those things. He shed his blood on the cross because that shedding of blood and that giving of his life paid the penalty for the sin of the whole world as the perfect sacrifice. Jesus was that propitiation. And that's the sacrifice that saves us, it redeems us. And I want you to picture it this way, the idea of redemption. You know, it's kind of, again, not a pretty picture to us, but it's kind of like we are enslaved to sin. And in the past, people that were enslaved, you know how you got out of slavery? You had to be bought out. Jesus Christ, his blood, bought us out of slavery. Bought us out of that bondage that we could never get out on our own. Christopher, take us to the next point real quick. Everybody, get this in your mind. And I'm trying not to say look up so much. I think I'm up to 4. I got 1 left. All right? So here's the deal. God's system. And I went through this out. You all heard this. That's why I say look up. You all heard this, right? People say, well, you know, yeah, that's what you think, but this is what I think. Here's the challenge. When we go, we are going to stand before God, and he's not going to ask us what we think. He's not going to care what, you know, what everybody else thinks, because he's the God of the universe. He's the creator. Remember, it says this in the prophets. It says, you know, remember that potter and clay illustration? The clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. So when we go and stand before God at judgment, like, we're not going to have a whole lot to say to God. And this is the challenge. Here's what he says. He says, God's system is what we got to worry about. And here's God's system. Look what it says in verse 26. That if God did this, he made Jesus that bloody sacrifice to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. So what does he mean by that? So God's just and he's the justifier. What's he saying by that? Here's what he's saying. God demonstrates his righteousness, his perfect holiness, in that he is just. And everybody get this in your mind. He doesn't let sin go. You know how we do that? We go, oh, it's all right. Anybody ever do that? I know you just like slammed into my car or you just beat my kid up. And we go, oh, it's all right. God does not let sin go because he can't. He can't let it go. He's just. But God knows that there's no way for each of us to get to heaven. So he's the justifier. And he can declare sinners righteous because you know what? God provided the perfect sacrifice. It says this in the book of Hebrews 2. It says that we are not saved by the blood of bulls and goats, but we are saved by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life, wasn't conceived in sin, and made the perfect sacrifice for us. And then here's the last thought. This is God's system. This transaction takes place through the humble belief or faith of the people. And I want you to get this in your mind. This is the way. There's not an alternative way. There's not a different way. There's not your way, my way. It's really one way. It's only one way. And God makes that clear. That's his system. And again, that's what we celebrate today. If we're honest, we realize we are really hopeless. Jesus gives us hope because Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead. God accepted the sacrifice. And God declares all of us who follow him by faith to be what? Righteous. And that is a tremendous answer. This is the way. We're going to skip this point, the role of the law. I'll say it in one word. Here's the role of law. You know what the law does for us? We're never going to get saved by keeping it because we can't. But here's what the law does. The law helps us understand we are in big trouble because we can't help but sin. Even when I try my hardest, I sin. Right? We're stuck. Take us down 2 more slides, Chris. So what are we going to do? Here's the thought. Here's a couple certainties for us to think about this morning. Unfortunately, death is certain, unless Jesus comes back. We might get raptured. I'm hoping for that one, right? Death is certain. Judgment is certain. My sin, if I'm honest, is certain. God's standard is certain and clear, perfect holiness. God's love is also very clear. Jesus' resurrection is clear. God's presence in our life is clear, and eternal life is clear. That's really certain. Those are certain things, as we just laid them out. But here's what's not. I want you guys, this is my last look. This is my last look up, number five. Look up. This is important, right? Don't miss this, right? Here's what's not important. Or here's what's not, excuse me, here's what's not certain. And here's the first one. My life. Praise God, we're all here. We're looking for the Easter bunny after church and the ham and everything else. And we're not thinking about dying. We're not thinking about any of those things. But our life is not certain. It's not certain. Your tomorrow and my tomorrow is not certain. And by the way, if you look at the things going on in our world, it doesn't seem like anything in this world is certain. And I'll throw this out. Unless I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, my destination for heaven is very uncertain. It's uncertain. But here's the point. Here's what we got to do. I want to challenge all of us today. Take a little inventory of yourself. Have you received God's free gift of salvation through faith in the resurrected Jesus? And here's how you do it. By the way, it's no like magical prayer. It's no key words that you have to do. It's this. You call out to God in faith and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died for my sin, my rebellion. And I believe he rose again. And I want your eternal life. Amen. Later on in Romans, it says, all we got to do is call upon the Lord in faith. You know, it's kind of like if you were drowning in the sea and you're looking up to the people on the boat and you're saying, please, please throw me a life preserver. You're trusting that somebody up there is a pretty good guy and they're going to throw you a life jerk, right? That's what we're doing with God. We're just trusting him. And I want to encourage you, please, please, please receive the risen Jesus. And I want to throw this out to the rest of us. How many people today are feeling a little beat up by life? My hand is not up by illustration. It's up for real. Anybody feeling a little beat up by life? I probably should say, how many of you do not feel beat up by life? That would be easier, right? Take a lot less energy. I want to encourage us today, because we all going through it in one way or another with all kinds of things. I want to encourage you guys today. You know how we sang this morning? Let that be your everyday. Rejoice in Jesus every day. Amen. He's alive. Remember, go over that in your mind. Say it to yourself. Read it in God's word. Jesus is alive. Amen. And no matter what has happened, man, he's going to be with me this day. And guess what? He is going to take me home to my place that's reserved for me in heaven. And it is going to be amazing. Amen. So here's two words, right? Receive Jesus. Rejoice in Jesus. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. I pray, Father, if there is anyone here, Lord, under the sound of our voice that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray, dear God, that they would reach out to you right now, that they would call on the name of the Lord, and that they would believe that you indeed are God's Son who died and rose again for their sin. Father, I pray for the rest of us, Lord, who are just beaten up by the things of life. Father God, help us in our daily journey to rejoice that you are the conqueror of sin and death and all of its consequences. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who needs help, who wants to talk, who wants to pray, Father God, I just ask that you would have them reach out to me, Pastor Ansu, our deacons, someone else, and just say, man, I really need help. I really want that relationship with God. And I pray, Lord, that they will. Father, work in our hearts today. Cause us to rejoice in you, I pray. And I ask these things in the name of the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.